Hello, I'm Mariette Snyman, a journalist devoted to uncovering new ways to live a happier and healthier life. Thanks for tuning into Calm, Clear and Helpful, the weekly podcast series which introduces you to wellness professionals, offering their expertise and assistance. Today's topic is 55 pluses, mind shifts that support us at home and at work. If you're in midlife or beyond, I'm sure you'll recognize some of the challenges we're going to discuss, and I trust you'll gain clarity and feel reassured after listening. Personally, I'm curious about what my guest is going to say about mid-career changes. And this guest is Martsie Dreyer, counseling psychologist from Johannesburg. Welcome in the studio, Martsie.
Good morning, Mariette. Thank you so much for having me. This is my first experience with podcasts, so I'm somewhat nervous, but let's do it.
Yes, I'll tell you two things. The first one is, after all these podcasts that I've recorded, I still have butterflies in my stomach every time. And the other thing is that I especially like working with first-time podcast guests. So, let's see how this goes.
Thank you.
Can we start by your telling us about your career?
When I finished school, I grew up in the Free State on a farm, and then I studied at the Free State University, but I studied music. I love music. Music was really, for me, a very much part of my life, and my parents loved music, so I grew up in a house where we often listened to music, from opera to jazz, any type of music. And it was sort of a natural moving in this direction to study music. But at the end of my years of music, I want to go into music therapy. And then I realized, while I was busy with my master's in research psychology, I realized that, well, there's no job in South Africa, or jobs was not very established in South Africa. Currently, it's still not established. I believe in the power of music. Music doesn't have a language. You can work cross-culturally very, very easy. But from the understanding that I might find it extremely difficult to get a job, I finished my master's, and then at the end, one of the professors asked me if I'm not interested in doing an internship in counseling psychology. So I always say that psychology came my way. I didn't necessarily choose it. So yeah, this is how I landed up in becoming a psychologist. My first job was at a school for cerebral palsied children. So I have lots of experience in working with disabled children, and that was amazing. The interesting thing is, when my own children was born, I find it extremely difficult to distance myself. I feel sorry for every child that come my way. I feel sorry for the parents. And it was just a little bit chaotic in my own mind. And I realized I need to change. So what happened also then, in a natural way, I changed to business and started to work in business. So most of my years, I work in business environments. And I'm still in business environments. The wonderful thing for me was the fact that I have a qualification in counseling psychology, but I work in a business environment where you mostly find industrial psychologists. It wasn't for me difficult to pick it up. It cost a lot of study and a lot of reading books, etc., etc. But I enjoyed that type of work. And I also find that my background in counseling helps a lot to understand the challenges from a psychological point of view in business. Yeah, so this is more or less a summary. Mm-hmm. Enough?
Yes, but do you work in private practice too?
I do have a private practice at the moment, and this is where I work mostly now with mid-career changes. And this is an interesting thing. It often starts in your 40s, where people contact me and say, listen, Martsy, I just can't stand this job anymore. And when you delve deeper, it's not necessarily the job what is the problem, but people don't attend to all their needs. And I always say there is 5 pillars to take care of. The first one is your physical health. The second one is the workplace and the requirements from the workplace. The third one is your family. The fourth one is your social life. And the fifth one is then your spiritual life. And I will delve deeper into it later in our conversation.
Thank you, Martsy, for the 5 pillars. To start, in our pre-talk, you and I spoke about the fact that change occurs throughout our lives. Could you comment on that?
I want to take one step back. Over the years, I battled with the term life. What does it mean? And I do believe that for different people, it has a different meaning. How do we understand the thing that we call life? The best I could generate as an understanding of the concept by making use of these 5 pillars I referred to. So our social life, our work life, our spiritual life, our family life, and our physical life. Okay, let's unpack what is going on here. Let's take our physical life. In the process of growing older, we become more aware of our own vulnerabilities. For example, illnesses and chronic conditions that never existed suddenly interferes. How do we manage these challenges? That start with your thoughts. During our younger years, our lives were filled with many responsibilities, for example, taking care of children, their needs and activities. Much time and effort went into growing in your workspace, learning new skills, meeting the workspace needs and requirements. I often find that already during these younger years, people did not maintain a balance between the 5 pillars. When asked to allocate a percentage of time that is spent on each of these pillars, men spend most of their time at work, and a very small percentage of time was split between the other 4 pillars. The result of such a situation was that their personal identity was built around the workplace image. Later years, I saw the same pattern with women. It's happening exactly like that now in the workplace with women. They climb the corporate ladder and in the process start to neglect the children, the relationships, and also their personal health. And that caused a lot of problems. The problem hits the fan when people realize that they need to make changes in their lifestyle to accommodate workplace changes. For example, new generations entering the workplace, children moving out from the home, which can influence relationships. An interesting observation is that people, as they grow older, often start to feel unfulfilled with their jobs. They do not find it interesting or challenging. They become bored with the workplace routine. They become easily irritated and feel frustrated. And most of the time, they cannot understand why. Obviously, these emotions have a negative effect on the emotional and mental well-being of people. Many workplaces still have policies that employees must retire at a certain age, and suddenly that becomes a reality that people need to face during the stages of life. Let's look at our social life, which is the second pillar. As people grow older, their networks tend to shrink. Health issues may prevent them from socializing as often as when they were younger. The social circle reduces and isolation creeps in. Older people also tend to prioritize meaningful connections over large social groups. And this is then at that point where they land up in a situation where they feel, I need to get out of my job. I want to mention that it starts very often in the 40s. This is when people start to contact me and say, Marcy, I can't make it any longer. I want to resign. But this is not necessarily the solution. The solution is to take time, try to understand what is going on with you. Why is this challenge is happening? Why do you feel like that? Why do you feel like running away? And then, if we start to unpack, it is because your time is mostly spent in the workplace. You neglect your friends, you neglect family, you neglect to build relationships with your children, you neglect your spiritual life. And the easy thing now to get rid of is the work. And that's not the solution.
Marcy, let's focus on our generation for a while. And let's start by looking at the changes those of us who are older have probably navigated. How would you describe this?
But the one thing that stood out for me is that I grew up in a very safe environment and life was predictable. Not now anymore. We currently live in societies where things sometimes change daily. And that includes the economy, societies, financial shifts, family dynamics, and many more. I think the biggest change for our generation is the rapid growth and change of technology. We did not grow up with smartphones, computers, online banking, let alone social media and the use thereof. That was definitely not in our vocabulary, but we quickly had to learn how to use these things. That was not a subject at school, and there was not many books available to teach us how to use it. And our generation is used to books. Mm. Now, we need to figure out how these things work. And for me, it was really frightening. And technology influences all the pillars of your life. It's not only in the workplace. You don't go into a bank anymore and stand in a queue to draw money. It's online banking. Yeah, that was so difficult for me to trust that thing. Because I was used to stand in a queue. I look at the person. I ask the question. Now, conversations become faceless. You don't know how the person that you're talking to looks like. And I'm quite dependent on my eyes. This is how I grew up. So that was a thing to get used to. Now, using technology is today one of the core skills in all career directions. Doesn't matter whether you are in a more technical direction, in academics, any direction, across industries, it is important to understand technology, to understand the growth in technology and how to use technology. I also grew up in a family that believed we would always celebrate birthdays and Christmas together. But surprise, the children moved overseas, which is a very general tendency currently. This is one thing that parents still try to learn to navigate. And I often have discussions with parents on how to navigate this challenging thing. Now, you know what really irritates me is when you touch on this topic and people say to me, Marcy, but there's WhatsApp, There's Facebook. There is remote meetings. It's not the same. I can't give my kids a hug.
Mm.
I can't make a cup of coffee if I realize they are not okay. And I can see them mostly in their eyes. You become an outsider. You become an outsider of a family where you thought you would be part of. It's specifically difficult for me with the children in America. The time differences is challenging. And I'm not the only one who experiences this as a challenge. It's much easier if they are on the Europe side, you know. The children in Ireland is not more easier. There's sometimes an hour difference or a two-hour difference. I can, for example, work from there. I can't work from America if I visit them because the time difference is just not conducive and supportive to remote work. We must never forget that these changes have an impact on our physical as well as our mental health. It can cause loneliness. People may feel that their dreams are shattered. And I'm referring to dreams of growing up together with a bigger family. Maybe take the grandchildren to school. Maybe share in the jokes with your grandchildren and also your children. So these worries about finances that becomes more complex. Just to mention a few things. We cannot change that. And we only have one choice. Either you become bitter and twisted, mm-hmm. or you accept the circumstances and make the best out of the situation. Moping, blaming, nagging, and withdraw make things worse. The question is how to fill the gaps which we were left with. If you, for example, lost good friends because they move or they die, what do you do with the gaps? You need to learn to fill the gaps created by the departure. Your life continues and you must live it to the full. Always, always to the fullest. We cannot allow bitterness. We cannot blame. That make things worse. Negative thoughts and beliefs become overwhelming if we don't choose to deal with it. Our choices will influence the relationships with our children and their families. Our choices influence our relationship with our friends, our relationships in the workplace. Therefore, it's so important to become aware of these negative emotions and manage it.
Yeah, I can relate with a lot of what you say, especially growing up in a safe environment. Yeah, and the books. Now, I'd like us to look at our generation from a different angle. And my question is, I know that as a psychologist, you've formed an idea of what generally characterizes our generation because you have worked with clients for many years. What do you think did we get right?
You know what? I looking at the younger generations and also working with the younger generations, I want to believe that our generation is really hardworking. Disciplined. We accept responsibility. I remember that a couple of my colleagues and friends in the mid-90s went to work in the UK. They easily find jobs because employers realize that they are not clock watchers. They often told me that the South Africans are the people who finish the work, even if they need to work overtime. We are resourceful and we can make plans. There are wonderful examples of people who were retrenched and started very successful businesses with a positive effect on their physical as well as mental health. I remember years ago, I have a wonderful colleague. She was a bit older than me. She was then in her mid-50s. And she was a single lady, and she suffered from high blood pressure. So at that stage, we were with the HSRC in Cape Town, and they decided to cut the office and make it much smaller, and we also need to then reconsider what we are doing. That was quite difficult for me. I will get back to the old lady because she's amazing. So that was for me personally very difficult. I love psychology, but everybody at that stage started to do literacy courses because that was a need. But my take on it was, well, we need to start with youngsters. We need to start with toddlers. We need to start with children. And I decided to start to develop preschools in the townships. I have no knowledge about it, but this is also where my experience working with children comes in very handy. It just happened that in my internship years, children with learning disabilities landed on my plate. So I started to work in Langa and in Blue Downs. At that stage, Blue Downs was just, it was just a developing township. And I learned so much about communities, about the communication in communities, the structures in communities. I started with meetings with the people in the communities. And I remember the most funny thing was, I often didn't realize what was happening to me. And one of the interesting things is one day they said to me, the headman of Langa wants to meet me. So I was taken to a place and this person was sitting on a chair, but somebody opened a gate and I went in to this empty place. It was outside. He was sitting outside of his home. And he was just staring at me. There was no question, nothing. And then somebody at the gate said to me, okay, you can come out. And I was lost. I was totally lost. And I said to him, but what now? I said, no. Didn't you see the headman nod his head? Which mean he accepted you and you can now work in this township. And from there on, wonderful relationships developed. I was scared, but that also taught me a lesson. Don't shy away from challenges. Make it work. And that depends on your own mindset. So now I want to revert to the old lady, the older lady, because I think old is a wrong term, the older lady. She resigned then, and we had this discussion, and I asked Sally, what do you want to do? What is your hobbies? What do you really enjoy? And she said to me, she is doing the flowers for weddings. She's making curtains for people. She's making clothes, blah, blah, blah. I said, but why don't you start a business? Just charge for what you are doing for the wedding stuff. Just charge when you make curtains for them or blinds. And she started that. Then we came back to Joburg, but I still worked in Cape Town. So I went on a business trip, and I remember I was in Tiger Valley. A lady was coming up the escalator. I was going down, and when we passed each other, I realized it's Sally. So we have a cup of coffee, and she was so beautiful and lively. And then she was in her 60s. Obviously, we talk about work. And she said to me, Matsi, I have no blood pressure anymore. It went away. She has a wonderful business, still doing her flowers for the weddings, etc., etc. So this is for me a few examples of how resilient people are. Many people are entrenched in that stage, and they went through a difficult stage. It was very difficult, but they picked themselves up and they started with new things. Mm-hmm. So it's for me so important to allow yourself time to feel sad. Allow yourself time to mope. It's okay, but continue. Another thing in our generation, what I observe, is how actors is living. Goodness, they can make plans. They can generate income. Because at the end of the day, we need milk and bread on the table. Shireen Swart. Maybe some people still remember her. Shireen was an amazing actor, but she put also a lot of her energy in training younger actors. Shireen was the most resourceful person that I ever met. She always had a plan. She always find a solution for challenges. Her departure was for me personally a huge loss. I often also look at farmers and their reluctance to scale down when they grow older. There is always something else that still need to happen. And this is one thing that I learned from them. Just scale down. Don't retire. Why is it important to retire? Just scale down. There's always another plan to be implemented before they can slow down. And this is despite many daily challenges they are facing. Resilience is one of these behaviors that you can learn. And I don't think people realize that. Moving forward, despite, make plans, learn from your mistakes, try again. I learned a very valuable lesson from chess players where their attitude is that you cannot win before you learn how to lose. Even our grandmasters learn how to lose. Handling losses without frustration builds emotional stability, which is a critical trait that is needed in life.
Martsy, you have now offered such lucid examples of people facing challenges and then going at the challenges and often overcoming them. So my next question concerns challenges our generation and of course others face that feel out of one's immediate control. If we can't control our circumstances, then we need to apply mind shifts to deal with reality more easily. Could you comment on this?
Yeah. Mariette, this is now one thing that nobody can get rid of. There's always challenges. And that's not the point. The point is, what do we do with challenges? And we have choices. You will find that I often go back to choices. What do you choose? Either we can run away, or we can face it, or we can allow challenges to become an energy vampire. And there's many of these energy vampires. And I want at this stage to unpack a few of these energy vampires. So let's look at negative thought patterns. We must be very, very cautious not to become rigid in our thinking. We are not only right. Everybody has their own values that they live by, but we must remember and acknowledge that others may also have their own points of view. And this is okay. What do we do with it? Will you always defend your ideas? Will you always try to be right? If so, what will you learn? If anything is always my way, what will you learn? We only learn when we take a step back and start to listen to others and start to engage, ask questions, get another point of view. It is so important that we must stay curious about life in general. I think it's important to ask more questions than offering solutions. We must be very careful at this age not to think we know it all. And when people discuss a problem, they don't need necessarily an answer. They don't need a solution. They just want to be heard. Somebody must just listen, because this is one of the things of technology and the lack of speaking to people. People start to become lonely. And I will touch on this later on again, because this is a huge problem. If you look at how often people engage with technology, they are on Facebook, they are on Instagram, and they become lonely. But the other thing that happened there, they start to compare themselves with others. Oh, this one is on a holiday. I'm still at work. This lady has a new dress. It's terrible. It's good also. There is good stuff in it. But it's terrible, the comparison, the competition that develops. I think it's very important to listen very carefully to others without judgment. People are so interesting, but it depends on your own glasses. If you go in with a set of rules, you will learn nothing. You will not see the interest that people are offering to you. Then the second point is, be very cautious of routines and comfort zones. Both are comfortable and easy, but both these things can become energy vampires that hold you back from learning and discovering interesting new things or people that can make a difference in our lives. I also want to mention that the comfort zone develops over time. We start to shy away from people, to shy away from learning new things, to shy away from using technology. And this is one thing that we have to use. And I do think COVID did us a favor. We didn't have a choice. You know, we were thrown in the deep side and we have to swim. So be very careful for comfort zones, and our routines take us to comfort zones. It can lead to social isolation. We need people in our lives. Even the introverts need people in their lives. People energize us. Loneliness is an emotion that hurts your mental and physical health. It is so important that you must recognize when you are lonely. It often feels difficult to take the first step to reach out to other people. But you have to do it. Often people ask me how. Look around in your community for a group that you can join. Learn a new skill or a new hobby. There are many organizations where volunteers are needed. Join a gym. And by that, I don't mean CrossFit. CrossFit is a wonderful, wonderful thing, but goodness, it's extreme exercise in my mind. For example, if you join a gym, it's not necessary to go 7 days a week. 2 or 3 days is enough. It's good for your body, but it's also good to take you out of your comfort zone. It takes you out of your normal environment. It's also a place where you can meet people. Exercise is very, very important. It energizes us and boosts our serotonin, which is the feel-good hormone. I mentioned the gym, but just go for a walk outside. Nature is good for your health. The serotonin hormone helps to regulate our mood. Healthy serotonin levels contribute towards a positive attitude towards life. Low levels of serotonin can trigger anxiety, mood swings, and depression. It is so important that you must learn to control that. Manage your stress, which is another energy vampire. Chronic stress is very bad for the body, especially for your brain and memory. I find that the first thing that goes haywire when people become extremely stressed and when anxiety kicks in is our memory. And then people start to feel very worried. But if you manage your stress, then these things will fall in place and the memory will come back. But it is worrying. I think I also experienced it more than once where I've got memory gaps. And then looking at how you live, looking what is happening in your life, it's most of the time related to stress. So what you need to deal with is not your memory. You need to deal with these other challenging things around that causes the stress. And then the memory comes back. Luckily, we can learn techniques to manage our stress. Stress is the one thing that nobody can run away from. And the sooner we learn how to manage it, the better. There's a lot of writings about stress and different techniques. I'm not going to delve deeper into that. The next point is for me so important. Learn something completely new. And the sooner you start, the better.
A quick note on what I do. I showcase health and wellness experts, as well as creative individuals who inspire transformation. Drawing on my background in journalism and podcast production, I help professionals expand their reach, build credibility, and connect with new clients. The podcasts and articles I create also offer listeners and readers fresh insights on living healthier, happier lives, and introduce them to trusted professionals who can support their growth. If you're a wellness expert keen to raise your profile, do visit marietsneeman.co.za and explore the services section. I work closely with my podcast guests and the experts featured in my articles, offering step-by-step support, especially if it's your first time being interviewed. I'd love to connect with you. Now, back to my guest.
Learn something completely new. I come across this jewel very early in my life. My children, I decided at the stage I need to do more things with my children because I spent too much time at work, etc., etc. So they went fishing and I decided to go with them. Oh my word! I was so clumsy, but just to be there, just to share something with them, was so much fun. And later, I sort of managed how to throw the fishing line, and the boys laughed at me, but I enjoyed it and feel quite proud about learning this new skill. We are never too old to learn new things. I remember the shutdown during COVID was frightening for me. Suddenly we had to learn to use technology for remote meetings and consultations. I felt totally lost. I was angry. I felt frustrated. I felt out of control of everything in my life. The first 2 months were terrible. The one day you went to the office, the next day you have to set up remote meetings. I have no knowledge about it. Luckily, my one son was with us at that time. And, oh, Rudolph was on standby 24/7 because if mommy shout, he knows there's a problem. Looking back, I still cannot believe how quickly I've learned to manage technologies. And this is not only me, it's also my colleagues. It's people older than me. We must never stop to challenge ourselves. I promise you, you will surprise yourself. You have knowledge and skills that you learned over 50 years plus. You gain life experience. You have wisdom, which only comes from living life. But it's also your duty to pass it on to the younger generations. And you, that can happen in different forms, in different places. But you must go out and look for it.
Martsie, earlier you said that you're not really fond of the term old. So I'm asking you, could you comment on the term old people and seeing oneself as old?
Mariette, what is old? What is the meaning of old? Who determine when somebody or what determine that somebody is old? What is the criterion to be classified as old? You know what? Since the day we were born, we have getting older. We are all getting older. The question is not whether we are old or young. What we need to focus on is how we spend our time. And that question counts for every age. How did you spend your time when you were a teenager? When you were in your 20s, your 30s? We did great things. We waste time. We messed up. But it is always important to bounce back. And we did bounce back. It is always important to acknowledge, yes, I messed up. I'm sorry. We have choices. The actual question for me is how you want to live your life in the process of growing older. Is it about choices? Choices that we make since the day we were very young and realized that we have choices. We sometimes make the right choices, sometimes we make the wrong choices. But we all can always decide again how to go forward. Maybe there are a few things that we must watch out for. And I, again, call these things the energy vampires. Become aware of your thoughts is so important. How do you think about yourself? How do you see yourself? When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Do you only see the wrinkles? Do you also see the beautiful stuff in you? You know, do you remember the huisgenoot?
Yes.
I was a very young psychologist. It was, years ago. In the middle of the huisgenoot, there was a picture. It was a picture of a well-known band or a singer, or it was just very age-related. But the one day, there was a picture of a very ugly person. And then there was a write-up about it. And what the person did is to take the 10 most beautiful women in the world and certain features that they are known for and put that in the picture. So I remember it was Sophia Loren, the cheeks. I remember it was Brooke Shields' mouth. It was Farrah Fawcett. Do you remember the hair? You know, the blonde hair. But the face was ugly. I looked at it and suddenly I learned, I think, a very important thing that helped me personally a lot. We all have flaws. We all have beauty. And we need the flaws to highlight the beauty.
That's quite an insight.
Isn't it beautiful? So we can decide on what do we want to focus. Do we want to focus on the wrinkles? Or do we want to focus on your beautiful eyes or your wonderful smile? Or in each and every person is beauty. What do you choose? It's your choice. And the choice what you make at that point in time will determine how you would feel the rest of the day, the rest of the month, the year.
That's true.
Yep.
Martsy, along these same lines, looking at ourselves, can an individual reflect on certain questions to see themselves in a more positive light?
Sure, Mariette. Our mind is a very, very powerful instrument if we use it correctly. But when we use it wrongly, it becomes extremely destructive. You must listen to the voice in your head. This for me is the first thing. What is your daily conversations with yourself? Pay attention to the repetitive thoughts. You know, these old audio tapes playing in your head over and over and over. What is the nature of it? Listen to yourself talk. What do you say to yourself about yourself? What are the thoughts that tap your energy? Another energy vampire I mentioned earlier. When this talk is negative, we will feel sad. We will become bitter. We adopt a low mood. And we find fault with everything we do, who we are. But the terrible thing is, we also start to find fault with other people, how they look, what they say, what they do, and we start to criticize. It's the most negative and destructive thing we can do to ourselves and to other people. And that in itself will lead to loneliness. You will withdraw. People will not find it nice to be around you because you always criticize. You are always right. And that always right thing, what happens, you protect yourself. You protect the negative feelings, the negative thoughts. This is actually what happened there. So it is important to turn it around. Put positive things in your life. And that also reflects on my very first question, how we live. How do we live? When we live in the past, we feel guilty. When we live in the future, we become anxious because we don't know what will happen. We don't know what to expect. We must learn to live in the now, the here and now. This is where we are. An example. I remember there was a stage in my life when I was driving to work. It became an automatic process. I generally was thinking and prioritizing work, making grocery lists in my head, thinking about the laundry and the house chores. Obviously, I started with high stress levels, close to anxiety, actually. No serotonin. I started my day on a wrong note. And then I come across a wonderful book written by Eckhart Tolle. The name is Practicing the Power of Now. And it sounds airy-fairy maybe, but it is really not. So I decided to change. The first thing that I realized I need to change is when I get into my car to focus on the road. And what I did was I start to look at the houses, look at the cars in front of me. I look at the names of the cars and I learn more cars. I was not interested in cars. So, you know, a car for me is a thing that take me from one point to another were four wheels. It's not necessary to walk, luckily not. So I look at the cars, I look at the gardens, I look at the type of plants in the gardens, and it gives me so much joy. Now, when you learn these new type of behaviors, it is so important to do it consciously, because it's not a conscious thing yet. But if you continue, now, some people say 3 weeks, but some people say a month, but you need to do it continuously and consciously. Make a decision. When I am here with you, when I have coffee with you, I am here with my body and my soul. Focus on the conversation. Focus on the joy that you get out of this conversation. That is important. Don't split yourself up. We are too conditioned to think about our mistakes from the past, or to say, gee, I want to go overseas. I want to do that. I want to do that. And I don't say don't do that. Don't plan. We have to plan. But stay away from negative thoughts. Stay away from the energy vampires. Yeah, the practicing the power of now was really one of the achievements in my life, to realize that the past is the past. The mistakes is from the past. I can't do anything about it. But the question is, what did I learn? The future is the future. We need to have plans for the future, but it belongs in the future. Enjoy the moment. The most amazing thing for me is when I pour myself a glass of whiskey. I just focus on the whiskey. Oh, my first cup of coffee in the morning. Just focus on that. What is happening now? This is the conversation. Does it make sense?
It makes sense, and it's something I need to hear. So thank you very much for saying that. Matsi, still focusing on ourselves and identity. Our identity is often closely tied to our career or what we do from day to day. And I guess many people who are older fear becoming irrelevant or being pushed out of the market.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even when they are not older, maybe yep. In midlife, as you said.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
What would you say to them?
I wish people can come to a thorough understanding that you are much more than a job title. A job title does not define you. The career is just one of the five pillars that I discussed. It's just one of them. What happened around the other four pillars? Who are you when I take away your title? Who are you when I take away the fact that you are a fantastic actor or a CEO? Who are you when you go to bed? Who are you when you look in this mirror? What do you see? What does your friends and family say about you? Do they enjoy being around you? Is it interesting to talk to you? Do you see kindness? Or is it a me, I, me again, and I again? How do you treat your body? Another pillar. What is happening in your mind? How do you live your life? Do you live inwards or do you live outwards? What do you give out to others? Are you aware of your actions and how your behavior affects others? If you meet somebody, it is a fact that We form an opinion within the first 3 seconds when we meet somebody. What do you give out? I want to mention that it is okay to feel sometimes down. It's okay to feel sad. Cry, shout. But don't stay in that place. It is very difficult to say goodbye to a title. Surely it creates frustrations. It is difficult to say goodbye to certain activities that comes very easily. And now, as you get older, it becomes more, maybe more difficult to do the same activities, to the same speed, same accuracy. But so what? You have other things. You learn other stuff. You are so much more than just a job title and your career. It's just one thing. It's one pillar. What's happening in your spiritual life? What's happening in your family life? What is happening in your social life? I don't have all the answers. Maybe you must try to answer these questions looking at yourself. Talk to yourself about it.
Yeah, those are very crucial questions. Martsy, retirement is one of the biggest changes we can face. And when you and I did our pre-talk, you said that the principle of mid-career changes could be useful when someone is headed for retirement, or even, as you indicated, people who become very unhappy in their jobs. What are the traps of mid-career changes?
Mariette, you mentioned retirement. I personally don't like that word. If I ask you what is the thing that comes to mind when I mention the word retire?
Yes, it sounds like something that doesn't have a purpose anymore.
Exactly. And often people say that. They often say that. Why do we need to retire? We have choices. What are we going to do if we retire? We must do things. We must stay active. We must stay sharp. Yes, we are becoming older and we need to change some behavior patterns, but we still have a brain. We need to keep active. We need to stay active. We must make plans. We must never forget that we are sitting with a whole lot of knowledge and skills that we have gained over years. How and where can you share this? This is homework that you can do over the years to allow a smooth transition when you're getting older. I want to share an example, and it is real. Years ago, I decided I will never retire. But I was thinking, okay, Martsy, you may come to a point where you can't do this job anymore or you don't want to do it anymore. In some of the work that I am doing currently, there is a lot of risks in terms of the decisions that I must make. And to be very honest, I often wish there's one day where I don't need to make a decision. Just one day where I can just think and sit and do nothing. I try it, but it doesn't work with me. But so this retirement thing, and when I get to the conclusion it's not necessary to retire, I was so glad. So when I decide to step back a little from the business of the workplace, I want to apply for a part-time secretarial position in a medical practice. Oh boy, I will treat the patients like royalty. There will always be flowers. They will receive coffee and tea and nice cold water. It's not a lot of stuff, but the environment will make them feel better. I think my learnings from customer service comes into play here. You know, people go back to a place where they feel comfortable, where they experience joy, where they experience good energy. And this is what I want to do in a medical practice. The one thing that I want to change, I want to take less important decisions and less risky decisions. Currently, my job requires that. Not the part where I deal with mid-career changes, but some of my other projects. I become tired to make the one risky decision on the other and take responsibility. Because if you make a decision, you need to take responsibility for it. I think I want to serve more. Yeah. I think it's that. Mm-hmm. I want to serve more. And that is my next change. It could be 6 years, 10 years, I don't know. And it is not necessary to worry about it, because life will show you when is the right time. We must not try ever to control everything. And I am a control freak, but it's wrong. We cannot control everything. We must leave some stuff for the dear God.
Mm.
He has a plan for us, surely.
Martsy, in our pre-talk, you also mentioned that many people underestimate themselves. And you have referred to that in passing when you said that we have 55 plus years of experience. How can we counter this tendency to underestimate ourselves?
I think I touched on it before, but I think it's a very important question that values repetition at this stage. We will always have the energy vampires that plays an important role. What is going on with your self-talk? What does your daily routines look like? Are you still hanging out with your friends? Do you still have younger friends? I don't believe in surrounding myself with my age people necessarily. Yeah. See, I think we can become boring men. So I make a point to interact with younger people and to learn from them. They have so much to offer. Do you engage in new activities? If you don't like reading books, look at documentaries on television. I mean, social media and technology offer us so much. And never forget that you already learned a lot of things. You have many skills. You have a huge knowledge base that you can draw from and offer to others. Especially in South Africa, we have a huge need of knowledge transference. And I mentioned the NGOs. I look at orphanages. These children have such a need for love. And I want to believe that this age people can give this love, this mature love. Go there. Chat to the children. Get involved in an orphanage. Help them with the food.
Or with homework, I suppose.
Aha.
Or homework. Reading.
There is many people who is very good with maths. People currently battle with maths, with languages. Our schools, unfortunately, is not up to scratch with that. And we see it in the matric results. We see it in the workplace where I work with selection and appointment of people. People can't read. Reading levels of matriculants is, according to a recent study on grade 6, standard 4, they are matric. They can't do the basics. They don't have the basic vocabulary that fit a matriculant. We can fill in that gap. Reading stories to them. A book. Use a book. They grew up with television. There's a different modality that comes into place when you read a book to somebody. And I think we can really offer a lot in terms of the educational value or the educational need that exists. And it's purely based on what we learned over the years. Don't underestimate yourself. Don't sell yourself short. It's important what is happening again in your self-talk. If it's negative, you won't see these wonderful things that you have to your disposal. If you are positive, then open up. Do go out. Change your life. Live. Enjoy, embrace life.
Thank you, Martsy. I'd like to know where people can contact you.
They can contact me on my email address, dreyer@martsy@gmail.com, or they can send me a WhatsApp message on 084-242-0775.
Thank you. I will include that information in the podcast notes.
Thank you very much.
And before we tie up, may I ask you a fun question?
Yes. It always scared me, but go ahead.
Martsy, if you were a teacup used for special occasions,
yes,
what would you look like?
A teacup for a special occasion, what would the cup look like? Oh my word. You know, it's a cup. You find this, the cup has a beautiful shape with flowers on, lots of gold and silver. I love bling. So a bling cup.
All right. And who do you think should drink from that cup?
Sure, Mariette, there's many people. I am so privileged to have amazing people in my life. Still, over my whole lifespan. But I think my parents, but people who influenced my life as an adult. When I studied music, I met Professor Gawie Silje. Prof. Gawie was an astronomer. He was also a professor in applied maths. And he has a qualification in music. He wrote this wonderful, it's not really a song, but because of lack of a better word, the Magaliesbergse Antlers.
Oh, yes.
Yes. He was one of the most humble people I ever met in my life. And when you interact with Prof. Gawie, you were the most important person at that moment. Prof. Gawie, without saying a lot, influenced my life. Yes, absolutely, Prof. Gawie.
Thank you, Martsy, for this conversation. I don't think you would know how many points you touched today that for me personally opened some doors and will lead to some self-reflection, I think. So thank you for your engagement and thank you for your wisdom and thank you for the way you light up when you talk about these things that are so important. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mariette, for the opportunity. It was for me an amazing privilege to discuss things that is very close to my heart. At the end of the day, we can have knowledge, we have skills, but what we give out will come back. Thank you very much.
To our listeners, it was good of you to join us. I'd be honored if you'd subscribe to this podcast series. And if you found this episode insightful, please share it with someone you care about.
go to my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za, for this episode's podcast notes and for free podcasts and articles on how to live a happier and healthier life and have more fulfilling relationships. To follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn, just search for Mariette Sneeman Journalist. The podcast series, Calm, Clear and Helpful, is produced by me with original music by Mart Marie Sneeman. Catch you next Tuesday at 9:00.